Hello and welcome into another episode of Podcast 63. It is season 4, episode 31. We have some fun stuff to talk about this week. We have two new players, two commitments to the team, two transfers this year that will be a big part of the team as long as they both can play, which we believe they can. So we'll be talking about that. But before that, we are going to be starting our year in reviews, our player reviews, with five guys who played most of them played some quality minutes, some did not, but we'll be talking about them all nonetheless. And at the end of the episode, we'll be answering just a couple questions that y'all had for us on Twitter. And yeah, so we got some fun stuff. Lou, I know you're probably excited, but how's your week been? And what's your weekend been like with this Loyola news?
Yeah, I think one was nearly more connected and expected, just with a visit and then all of a sudden, boom, commitment. The extra commitment was extra for me. I don't know if I really saw this name in the portal too much, but I'm excited nonetheless. So kind of a bit of a 1-2 punch that woke me up and was like, wow, we have two guys committed this past 2 days. So one of those types of excitement things, and really, really happy to talk about the new guys and also some of the guys this past season.
Yeah, so we're going to get into it all, and thank you for listening. Don't forget, always remember, go Blairs.
He jumps, he passes out to Hunter, Hunter shoots, off the rim, Ralph gets the score, it's over, we won the ball game, Loyola won the ball game, oh, we won, 60-58.
And we are back. So let's just like kind of quickly run down what we posted on A10 Talk this week, because there's kind of a lot of it. The first thing I wanted to mention was the women's basketball news, because that is kind of different and out of out of character for us, I guess you could say. But there will be more women's basketball coverage. It's still kind of yet to be. We don't know entirely how much, but big news, any like big sort of recruiting maybe potentially over the summer. And then when it gets closer to season time, there'll be more stuff. That's mostly going to be articles, like written stuff. We'll mention it on the podcast, but we are already know that we spend like sometimes over an hour talking about two games and, you know, recruiting news and news story. And that's just the men's basketball team. So we just want to kind of make sure to, we want to keep these podcasts near an hour. But there will be more coverage of the women's team in our articles. And that's evident by the first article that we wrote about the women's basketball team, which was the hiring of a new head coach. Allison Guth is coming over from Yale, from Connecticut, and going to be the new head coach. So if you haven't read up on that, please go over to A10 and read about it. Not very long, just a couple paragraphs about what she did at Yale, where she was before that, and what we're looking forward to her doing in Chicago. So that was one. Lou, if you want to just quickly mention the two other short ones that we wrote up, and I'll finish it with my recruiting document.
Yeah, so this past week, the two short ones were just kind of insights into the commitments from the portal. Again, these are our first two back-to-back, pretty much within 24 hours, first commitments of this past season into the new season's transfer portal. And excited, and we're going to talk more about the guys, but pretty much just giving a quick summary of where they're coming from, what we think they can contribute, but then what they've done for their teams in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the last one that I have, we've been, you know, we both love recruiting stuff, so one of the things that we wanted to get out was a sort of like prospect list is what we ended up calling it, but just players that we've offered for 2023, some write-ups on them, how they play, what they're potential is, and just what we like about them. So That one took a good amount of time and research. So if you know, if you haven't, go ahead and go read it. If you haven't yet, there's going to be updates to it pretty shortly here. There will be some good content coming this week, and then the next like prospect update. It probably won't be a month. It'll probably be more like 2 to 3 weeks for the next update. We already have two more players to talk about, Brock Harding, and I'm drawing a blank on the kid that we just offered today from Simeon.
Miles Lubin.
Thank you very much, Miles Lubin.
Or Ruben. Jeez, sorry. Oh, I don't know why. It's Ruben. Ruben.
Like the sandwich. Yes. Like the sandwich. Just absolutely.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, there'll be that. Those updates will come soon. But, yeah. If you haven't, go read up on those. We appreciate you reading. We've been getting some really nice comments, both on Twitter, on Rambler Mania, on Facebook, like just kind of all over. And it's been, I don't know, Lou, we actually haven't talked about this, but it's been really cool to see people reaching out and replying and telling that they like our written content. So it makes me happy because it's like it's a new venture for us. And I don't know, it feels different. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it feels different to write stuff.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is we can't just ramble on. No pun intended, but no, absolutely was a pun. Let's not lie here. But yeah, there's sometimes you're like, oh, I don't want to just keep talking. I want to get just straight to the point. But it's also exciting to also, at least now with A10 Talk, we get to also reach an audience that is not just centered to one team. So people who are also interested, who have no connection to Loyola besides being in the same conference, or also just wanting to read about a team who I think is capturing the nation, not only through our celebrity like Sister Jean, but our actual team play and getting Rogers Park kind of put on people's radar. So yeah, it's really exciting.
It really is. Yeah, it's fun. And we appreciate our new audience of the Atlantic 10 and all their fans, and even the Twitter account that keeps replying to us, telling us we're not going to be that good in the A10. Who told us that we have too small of guards. And then I listed off 4 all-conference guards for him that are all under 6'1". But yeah, we even appreciate you because you're interacting with us. Anyway, I like you said, I'll ramble on. Let's get into the meat of the episode, which the first thing we're going to talk about is our player reviews. This week, we're going to go through 5 of them. We're going to start with Tom Welch, get into Huddy, Saint, T.Y., and Will Elcock. So, let's just kind of, I'll start, give like a couple minutes to each guy, give a grade, maybe if they're still with the team, give a sort of outlook for next season. I'm going to start with Tom Welch. So coming into the year, I think we were kind of interested to see like if Tom was going to take a step up, if he was going to get more playing time. The 2 years ago, he had a really hot start to the year, and then toward the end of the year, he kind of played a little less with Huddy getting more minutes. I think with Tom, it's always been the same thing. We know he has the potential. He's a little undersized as a center and kind of maybe not as struggles to guard, I think, guys that are a small forward or smaller than that. So his niche is kind of that stretch four. I always believe in his talent, and I think he showed us a little bit more to his game this year. He actually played less minutes than he did his sophomore year, but I thought he showed us some more stuff, like more tricks to his bag. Like I thought he improved his pump fake off the dribble game. I thought he was a little more athletic. I saw him making some more fast break plays, a couple dunks. I mean, obviously one in particular against Bradley in the in Arch Madness. But even besides that one, a couple more dunks or kind of athletic finishes at the rim that I hadn't seen him make before this year. So I thought he took a step forward. I thought he trimmed down his turnovers. It felt like he had less silly fouls. He actually averaged the same amount of fouls, but I feel like he wasn't as ticky-tack with his fouls. And I thought that he was affecting more shots. He got some block shots. I guess technically he averaged more, but even beyond that, I just felt like he was kind of affecting shots more on defense. So I liked what I saw out of Tom Walsh. I hope he gets closer to that like 12 minutes range potentially next year, especially with now who we have gotten commitments from just in the past 2 days. But yeah, I think I would give Tom maybe a B just overall. I thought he was good. I thought he played well in his limited time. I kind of wish he would have shot a little better from three or taken more attempts. I think he's got a really nice shot as that kind of pick and pop stretch four type guy. So I wouldn't mind seeing him taking a few more open three-pointers next year. But Lou, what do you got? How did you think Tom Walsh did this year?
Yeah, I think Tom nearly kind of suffered a little setback, but not to his own fault. I think it was just more of a looking to keep up a faster pace. I'm not saying Tom isn't fast or he's a slow guy. I just think some guys like Tate and even Ryan are getting down the court a little bit quicker and they move a little bit, smoother to the rim and stuff like that, right? I think Tom is great off a nice pick and roll. I really love a pick and roll with Tom. One of my favorite things is because he can do pick and pop and pick and roll, right? Mm. So he is a really is double threat there, and there's no denying it. And that's where you didn't see enough of it. But then when you did see him in certain games, right? Like I think Missouri State, I remember he went 2 for 3 from three, and I know one of them for sure was a pick and pop. And I was like, absolutely, there's a mismatch because then the guard gets stuck with Tom, and Tom's taller and can jump over. So that stuff that is good examples of like what I know kind of can do. I think the biggest thing is not that he regressed on his own. I think it was just the matter of the depth, right? He kind of slid a little bit on the depth chart. While last year, right, he was kind of the guy to fill in for maybe wanting to go to that whole small ball offense. And now we had guys who were coming off the bench, especially early in the season, right? You had CK and Ryan be the bench guys with Tate. And then as Huddy and CK kind of switched roles, then Huddy still also was coming in. So Tom was kind of battling his own kind of depth position, right? But then there was the question of injury. I don't know if it was an injury, if it wasn't. So like at certain points, I was like, oh, Tom must not be playing because he doesn't seem to be like able to play, I guess, right? Like I remember he only played 1 minute in the UIC game, and that's a very shocking thing to think that Tom wouldn't have played in the UIC game. But then he played 10 minutes in the Michigan State game, 2 in Auburn, and then 1 minute in the Arizona State game, and I'm like, what? And then it just early on it didn't really seem clear, but then all of a sudden toward the end of the regular season and then even in the conference tournament, he's playing 10 minutes in Valpo game, clutch 10 points from him. I'm pretty sure like the Illinois State game, there was even post-game videos of coach being, and Tommy stepped up and stuff like that. So there were absolute moments toward the end of the season where it was like, oh, Tom's increasing his minutes. He must have been like hurt early in the season. So it's kind of a big question mark for me about like, was he hurt or not? When I did see him play, my bottom line is his three was not as consistent or even that, like you said, he barely took, I would say, as many as he took the probably previous years. So that's the, I think, the biggest thing, and which is rare because I don't think Drew would have been upset if him taking the threes, because I think this year we took more threes probably than we had in recent year. Yeah, last year I'm pretty sure he attempted 30 threes. Tom Welch, this year he attempted 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that alone is kind of a big thing. I don't know if that's just a schema thing. But then also he can drive to the rim, which I like. So big questions there about what is Tom's kind of like role. Is he a shooter? Is he a pick and pop? Overall, I actually am just going to give him, if we're doing what, B plus, B and then B minus, right, would be the B's.
Yeah, unless you have a secret B that I don't know about.
Some people, for some reason, I feel like always used to do B plus B, B minus, or B plus B minus B, some all that. But no, B minus is probably what I'm going to give him.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of any. It's really just a mix. It's like he didn't really get to play that much, but also when he did, it wasn't what I was used to. So I was watching sometimes a new thing. So just kind of a B minus for me. Mm-hmm. yeah, I think there's definitely more there. I just think he needs more time to play too. There are certain things that I know he can't control. So
yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Looking forward to seeing what he's got next year. Moving on, if you want to take Huddy and start with him, and I'll fill in.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Jacob Hutson, good old Huddy. Again, I got to emphasize this. This was his freshman year to me. This was his freshman year. Last year, yeah, it was technically his freshman year, but then he got this year back, right? Mm-hmm. So he had probably the biggest target on his back. Cameron Krutwig is out and gone, and Jacob Hutson steps in at 6'10". And early on the season, man, I guess we thought we had 15 points in Chicago State, which were like, cool. But then all of a sudden you had 8 against USC. And I was like, okay, cool. Arizona State, you're like, oh my God, 26. And then, like, of course, other guys are scoring. You got Braden and everything like that. So you're like, okay. And then Vanderbilt, he had a decent game. San Francisco, he actually had 13 points. Though, again, his last possession nearly broke my heart. Mm-hmm. But then since the San Francisco game, which, again, was the first game back in nearly a month, since then, we had a really two different tales of a season for Jacob Hutson. And that's not when he stopped starting. Again, he didn't stop starting until end of January, and then we saw him coming in a reserve role. But I think this is just a case of, do you start him, and then those minutes are just built up of trying to figure out a good start? Or do you bring him in and let him play a good reserve role and get 18 to 20 minutes in a reserve role where there's no pressure? I'm like, oh, we need to score right away, and just get him to build the confidence he needs to also play Division I basketball, because this was his freshman year. So I think he started off hot, but then there was questions of minutes and was he playing. Like, there was a game against Indiana State. He only had 6 minutes and he only got 2 shots up. For a guy who I don't think turned the ball over as much as people may think, there were plenty of games where he had no turnovers and maybe one. Yes, there was a game where he had a few games where he had 3, but no more than that. And I think there's only 2 games he had 3 this past year. So my biggest thing with Jacob is that there was a tale of 2 halves. Great highlights, but then also great drops. So he sits at a B for me. I know he could be better. And that's really the truth of it. I think it's not just a him thing. I also think the coaching staff really needs to figure out what their role is with him. Because it's an all around team, when it comes to it, right? There was plays that I know could fit. And then there are plays where I'm like, I don't think that's a Huddy play. And my last thing is, you can shoot 2 threes, maybe a game, but no more than that. That's really it. Unless they have to be wide open. I'm never going to be okay with him shooting contested 3. Wide open 3s, I feel okay with that. Contested 3, no. So that's a B grade for me. I know he can do better. What do you got, Buck?
Yeah, I mean, I think your point about this being his freshman year is really good. And I understand that, like, fans want to see improvement. And I do think he improved. But the thing you got to understand is he wasn't even supposed to play last year, 2 years ago, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think that point is really valid. I just got to really ingrain that in Rambler fans' heads. And big guys always take longer to develop than guards do. I thought at times he looked great. I thought at times he looked like a quality mid-major starting center. And at other times, he looked like a guy who was just a little lost, to be honest. And here's the thing. I think it's easily solvable. And what it is he's just got to play kind of quicker, actually. Like, you can see how when he's on the court, he's just thinking about everything. And he's just got to play off instincts. I bet you come next year, within the first 10 games, he'll hit this groove of like 3 or 4 games in a row where he looks like a great quality starting center in a mid-major team and maybe score anywhere from 10 to 15 points 4 games in a row. If I'm a betting man, I'm betting on him because he's getting to that level. I think the pressure's off him now because I think people are kind of counting him out. And when you're being counted out, it's way easier to perform because there's not any pressure. You know, we sign or get a commitment from a top-level center from the Big East. I just think he's going to have less pressure, and he's going to perform better next year. As for this year, yeah, I think, like you said, the turnover thing, he didn't really turn the ball over too much. It was kind of more missed shots. I will say that the one thing I would like to see him do, which I think is, again, something that's pretty easily solvable, is just be more aggressive on the boards. He's so big, he's so tall, he's so lanky, and yet, like, sometimes he would get beat out for rebounds when he really hoped he wouldn't. And I think that's something that comes with maturity, and he's going to do it. But yeah, I would like to see him just be a little bit more aggressive. He had some nice passes. I think he was a little bit better of a passer than I had anticipated, which is cool to see. I just think he's going to keep getting better, and I enjoy watching him play, even if sometimes I scratch my head a little bit, but I love watching him play. And I think he's just going to get better over the years. And before we know it, he's going to be a senior and just leading this team. So I am also giving him a B. I don't mind his three-point shooting when he's open, like you said. I think there's a lot of times where he's in rhythm and he can take a three and go for it. Other times, I'd love to see a pump fake. And he did it a couple times toward the end of the season. But just a pump fake and a pass and a cut for him, oh, it would set him up so well.
I think it might have been a Valparaiso. I don't know. It was a game where I was watching from home, mm-hmm. and he pump faked, and I yelled so loud she yelled at me. I was like, did you not see what he just did? And I think it's a move that in his pocket can be so dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely can. He's got, like I said, he's got the potential. So we'll... We're rooting for Huddy. We're obviously big Huddy fans. I'm excited to see how he does in the A-10 where no one knows his game, right? You know, he had some scouting reports on him this season. So hopefully he can come in there and produce pretty quickly. That'd be great. That's kind of all I got for Huddy. If you got anything else, otherwise I'll move on to the next guy.
Oh, B for better. We know we can. Let's go to the next guy.
Definitely. Next guy I got is St. Thomas. Saint is one of, I think, most Rambler fans' favorite players. He quickly got some fan support at Loyola Games. He's always got good shoes, and I think he showed us a little bit of what he can be this year. Like we've mentioned with a few other guys, there was a bit of a logjam, like a roster lock logjam for him, and so he kind of didn't have too much playing time, but he did kind of carve out a small role, which seemed to be him coming in at the end of the second half to kind of put in some energy and some speed and just a different look. And I thought he did pretty well, honestly, in that role. It was kind of fun to see him get in there at times. And I enjoy watching him play. I thought some of his highlights, he had 13 points in his first game against Coppin State, which is obviously fun. I remember he drilled a three at the end of the Northern Iowa game in the semifinal of Arch Madness. And I remember he came in the Drake game for 5 minutes both games. The one at home, he actually played 12 minutes. And just him kind of matching up against Tucker DeVries, having two freshman guys who were kind of about the same size. Obviously a little bit of a different pedigree with Tucker DeVries, but, yeah, I thought he played some good minutes. His alley-oop dunk to T.Y. was super fun. And I just think he can be a monster. I think he can be so good. I think we're going to see a lot more of him in the A-10. If he's not starting, he better be getting really quality minutes, like 25 minutes a game. I just think he's on his way, and it's good to let him get his feet wet and learn the offense, and I think he's going to take off. So... I don't really know what I expected from him this year, so it's kind of hard to give him a ranking or a grade, but I'll go with B+. I thought he played well. I never thought that I didn't think he ever played out of his element. So I'm gonna give him a B+. But Lou, what were some of your thoughts about Saint and what you like to see from him this year?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that with just watching him on the court was, like, there is athleticism there. And I want to see it used so much more. His shot is something that is natural and comfortable to him, so I don't mind his shot at all. What I mind is like the amount of shots. So like, yes, they was 3 of 5 from Coppin State, but then it was like Chicago State, it was 1 of 5. And I was like, I think there were times where I was like, those were his only 5 field goals. I'm like, oh, I know you can mix and match and drive the rim because I know you're smooth to the rim. Mm-hmm. Like you could just see it that I think, and he's got the height, right? So height and athleticism can do so many things. And you kind of even saw it with a little bit of Ahir. Ahir was able to have an open, had a 3 comfortable that I would be okay with him shooting, but then also would drive to the rim and go with his maybe a little move to the rim and move around. And I think that's what Saint can do. And there was a few times where he did actually fake the 3 or just like let the defender blow by him and then he drove. And I was like, oh my God, that's like a move that now again, it's tough though, because we're kind of rating on like a scale that's half of what like the starters look at, right? He's not playing as many minutes. His minutes are then magnified to what you only do in those 5 minutes. So it's so tough. And that's what kind of very, I to be honest with you, him and Huddy are very similar with the actual magnifier being put on. When Huddy and him have less minutes, it's like, oh, okay, well, this is what you did in only 11 minutes. And I'm like, well, if they had double that, could they have done even better, right? So I think one thing that I'd love for him that I said for Huddy is a quick pump fake. I would love to see a pump fake and drive. He did it a few times. I'm just partial to, I think, the height can win you more chances at the rim. But again, an open 3 and even some contested ones, you're absolutely right. The Drake one, or not the Drake, the Northern Iowa 3 came in, didn't need the 3. Again, we were kind of winning big. And then I was like, oh, like that was a nice 3. Like there's no denying he's got a shot. I think his game can develop multiple things that leave him at a really top advantage. I think the one thing I'd like to see just to work on, if it comes into it, is something that Ryan actually did early on, and then I didn't see it, but it was like kind of backing down people. Mm-hmm. And with just with Saint's natural height and then his quickness, I think you could maybe see, and again, if it works, Braden does this actually too. Braden will do the whole like fadeaway kind of step in and jump out shot. And I just think with Saint's height, you could potentially see that. So that's something, but again, not a necessary thing, right, at all. So excited. I would say on a normal scale, I would rate him an actual B-. But again, I'm realizing with him, it's the minutes are so magnified. So I'm going to give him a B at like a weighted score kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just because it's no real way to measure. I think, though, there's potential there that can be seen. And you saw that. I think one quick thing is Drew really liked using him. Do I think there were times where Drew wanted him just to try to do something? And I was like, I don't know if he knows that. I think he's just also trying to be a smart kid and play his role. I think it was the Evansville game. He came in like the first half at Evansville, and we were down. And it was like, was he trying to just like do something different? And that could have been it, right? So I think maybe next year when it's not Lucas out there, Tate, or even Keith, like it's going to be Saint out there. So it's like, well, you not starting or even coming off, like you're going to have to fill a role that these guys did. So I think you'll see that kind of like development into actually having a role and a position kind of happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I don't know. I'm excited for the future for Saint. I think he's got obviously a lot of potential. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Are you good on Saint? You want to move on?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Next two, I think, will be kind of quick. We got T.Y. Johnson. For me, I mean, there's just not that much there, right? We could talk and like do the same thing we just did with Saint, but I just don't think there's too much to talk about. We liked watching him play. I think he's got great potential. It was fun to have a Chicago kid on the team. His dunk was great. He gave us some drama at the end of games occasionally. And I also like the there's one sound bit from, I think it was, it might have been Arch Madness, honestly, where or a game right before that where T.Y. said he was the best defender on the team, and Lucas like gave a look to the camera and he's like, sometimes your sons act out. Like, I just like, yeah, I wish I would have gotten to know him a little bit more, but I'm sure he'll be competitive and successful wherever he goes. I hope he's able to play a lot of minutes because he'll be a fun guy to watch. So, yeah, I'll give him a B-minus and give him a good luck wherever you go. What do you think, Luke?
Yeah, I think T.Y. had a glimpse of things. I think defensive was the biggest thing. We talked about it a good bit last week. So plug last week's episode here. T.Y. had a lot of cool things I wanted to see. Chicago guy, always love to see that. But I think the biggest thing is probably just a B-. But again, loved just – I think my favorite memory I'll have is that he posted to Instagram the new gray uniforms. And we tweeted it out, and he asked us, can you not put that up yet? And I was like, we're like, absolutely, we can just put it away.
He owes us one, honestly.
Yeah, so, yeah. Again, one of those guys that there's no, like, you wish him the best, especially Chicago guys. You love seeing Chicago guys, want to stay. So there's definitely opportunities to go out of Chicago and try something new. So the fact that people stay is really cool. So hoping he has a... finds a good spot and has a good rest of his college career.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Will, easy A+. Easiest A+ I've ever given in my whole life.
Is it the hair? I think it's the hair.
Yeah, he's got good hair. He's got a good attitude. And his form on when he brings the clipboard to the coaches is just exquisite. His ability to sit in a chair is really good and carry a chair off the court. Kind of the best I've ever seen. But no, in all honesty, like, it's been super fun watching him and letting him get in the games occasionally, and just seeing the support he has. He also gets an extra A plus for having a cool dad, because I talked to him a little bit at Arch Madness. So no, I mean, in all honesty, it's been fun watching him have a great career for Loyola, and now he's going to be a very large part of Rambler Nation on Twitter. So he's already got that going on Instagram too, just posting in favor of getting guys and telling guys to come to Loyola. So yeah, it's the end of a career on the basketball court, but the beginning of a career as a Loyola Twitter internet fan, and probably in person too. So yeah, A plus easily.
What yeah, I think Will Alcock, Victory Cigar, probably one of the last times I'll probably say that, which is kind of tough to hear, but very excited that it was a thing I could witness, right? Will I remember a lot? Yes, because Will was very, very integrated with the team. Not only is his podcast now great, but he had a great year. I think I will not forget his Evansville game. Like, I don't know who could. Just decided to go off, and that's what you love to see. It was a great game by all the Ramblers, right? Not one I don't think really had a bad game. But then Will said, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to score the third most points of the game, or try to beat out... I'm going to score more than Braden and maybe Tate. Like, I'm going to do it. And he did. And he had a great game, and everyone was happy. So that's great to see. And I really loved it. And then love his commitment to stay interactive with helping Loyola and caring about Loyola on Twitter. I think that's even more. You have a guy who's been there 4 years and been part of a lot of winning. And I think it's great that he wants to continue that winning even when he's not on the bench.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun to have him as an internet friend for a while. That's kind of what we got for these five. We'll be getting, you know, each week we'll be talking more. We got four for next week. So, stay tuned for that part of the podcast. The next portion, we're going to talk about these two new guys, our two new commitments, Philip Alston and Bryce Golden. I'm sure that's what a lot of you came here for. And we're, I think, simply put, just excited for them to be here. It's funny how much, and just kind of talking about both of them generally first, it's funny how, like, we think we're on top of things on the internet, like looking at names, searching, talking to people, all this stuff. We got 30 names on a list, blah, blah, blah. And then literally, it's a guy that we had not even heard anything about that committed to Loyola in Bryce Golden. And I think that's great and funny, and like surprises in this day and age on the, you know, in the age of the internet where everything's online, it's fun and cool. And
good for them for figuring it out and getting it done. I have no idea if this was something that popped like 3 days ago or if it's been playing for 3 weeks. I don't know. And I don't know if we'll ever know. But yeah, that's the kind of one of the cool things about Bryce. Phillip, on the other hand, was some guy we had heard about and we did some research on and were able to watch video of. And I know I mentioned it, I think, last week, but his health battle has been really interesting, and it just seems like he's a different player since when he got healthy, and I think that makes perfect sense. And if that's the case, I think he's kind of got this untapped potential, right? Like, he literally is a different player. So I'm excited to see what Drew's going to do with him on the coaching staff, but I think they're both good guys. Do you want me just to kind of get into a little bit more, like in depth, or do you have any just general thoughts about them?
Well, it's the portal. I think that's the crazy thing, I think, with Bryce's one, right? And my quick summary with Phil is to see articles talk about people calling him sluggish and then watching the amount of film I've watched on him. So happy to hear that or just see that I think some medical has been fixed or has been worked on. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see that. I think that was like first and foremost when I heard that, I was like, how is that a thing? Why is that a thing? And then you're like, oh, you learn about it. And you're like, that's kind of cool to see now. So yeah, absolutely excited. I think we have really good points to talk about, but also just something. So it's fun to see things come out of left field, just mm-hmm. not prepared for it. I joke that maybe we have friends on the inside. Maybe we need to get better friends. But no, I think everyone who's been helpful to us has been great. But just a fun one to have and a fun last 2 days, to say the least. But let's go into them.
Yeah, let's start with Phil. I hope he doesn't mind us calling him Phil. So he's coming.
I would love to know if it's Philip or Phil. When I was writing my little article, I was like, does he like Phil? Is he?
Yeah.
I sat there for a few minutes to be.
He probably goes by something completely different, like P or like, I don't know, or just like Jimmy or something. Who
yeah,
knows?
He's pushing P, yeah.
Exactly. Right. That's what the kids are saying these days.
That's what they're saying.
Yeah. So he comes from Division II, Cal U, which is in Pennsylvania, which I think I'm finally going to be able to get that right. I think I read he was Player of the Year in Division II, right? Did you read that as well?
So I could not find that. If anyone else wants to find, I was going to put in the article. I found last year's, but I could not find this year's Division II Player of the Year, which I
that's absolutely so weird.
Phil or Philip could be the winner of it. I just couldn't find an actual post.
That's so strange. Yeah.
His dad, kindly enough, sent us some stats.
Yes.
So I just didn't see anything about Player of the Year there. Sorry.
Okay. No, you're good. Yeah. I thought I read that and I Googled it and I couldn't find it, which is just weird because you'd think something like that. If he didn't win, he probably should have because he averaged over 20 points and nearly 11 rebounds per game, nearly 2 blocks as well. He's just a beast, man. I mean, he's 6'6", but he plays bigger than that because he can jump out of the gym. Like you said in your article, he uses that athleticism for dunks and layups, but also block shots. But yeah, he's going to be fun. I think he's going to slot in as, I think, a role player. I think he's going to get a chance to be able to play anywhere from 10 to 18, maybe 20 minutes a game, potentially. I think he gives us something different, in that toughness and that sort of athleticism that we might be, lacking just a little bit with some of the guys that left. But, yeah, I'm pumped to have him. I think he'll be a good addition. And, I have seen some people saying he's a good 3-point shooter. I wouldn't say that. I would say he is, can shoot a 3-pointer, and maybe with some time in the laboratory of Drew and his staff can become a better 3-point shooter. But also, when you're the best player on your team, there's a lot more attention. You can draw double coverage, all that kind of stuff. So maybe being a role player will allow him to be a little bit more efficient as well. But either way, I think he's going to make a great addition, and he has 2 years of eligibility left. So we'll get to know him a little better. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So right away, I had to confirm. But yeah, so his dad did send us a thing. And so Phil was third team, all like American team, all America. And the player of the year was from another school, according to this. According to, again, the name of it is the Ron Lenz National Player of the Year, right? So I don't know if that's, there might be multiple player of the years for all I know.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, long story short, he was, though, team three. But regardless, I think I sat continuously. There's a 10-minute clip of Phil's highlights. And the biggest thing for me that I watched from this past season is he really knows how to get up. He loves his one-handed jams. Loves them. Loves them. And it was great to see. It was funny in my postseason kind of, I don't want to say like upset, but I was upset because we lost. And I was like, oh, I'm going to miss Ahir's dunks, right? Like, who's going to dunk like Ahir? Because that was kind of a thing that we were seeing, was Ahir dunking almost every game. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure the rims of Gentile will be in safe hands with Phil Elston on the court there. But yeah, I think the biggest thing is, I don't think personally, I loved your point, I don't think this is a natural three-point shooter. Mm-hmm. I think he's natural around the rim. And I said that in the article, is that he looks to go to the rim. Either he's waiting for, there are plenty of baseline passes that came to him and he just went up and dunked it. So he's smart in putting himself in the right position. Which is why I mentioned the article, CK. How many times have we mentioned this past year where CK was just in the right place, right time, right? And I think that's a type of role that in a role player I like, or that type of player. And I just think with his natural ability, though, to get up on defense is something that we haven't seen in a little bit, right? I think the last time I've really seen it was kind of, yes, CK had blocks this year, but I don't think they really were a consistent thing throughout the year. Personally, I think the last time was like Montel.
I was literally going to say Montel. That's fine.
Yeah, Montel, you could see him get up for a block, and he would get up with the, as the other player was rising, Montel would get up. So I really see that with Phil. I really would love to know what is. I need to figure that out, but. It seems that the visit went great, and I love seeing that, really. A guy visiting, and he commits the next day. Like, how cool is that? Because it's like, oh, they're really – not only are they selling Loyola, but they're probably making a player feel like, oh, this is a spot I want to play at, right?
Yeah.
And I think, again, that's another thing that I'm happy to see put Rogers Park on the map is, like, guys are coming to see Loyola. They're seeing the facilities, right? They're potentially seeing, like, hey, we're moving to A-10. Like, we're about to play all these teams, all these places. So it's exciting. I think that transition from D2 to D1 is not something we haven't helped a player achieve before. Tate Hall, great example, right? And guys from JUCO. And Drew said this, and Phil being our first commit in the transfer portal, I think is the right one to say it, is like, Loyola is a great place for transfers.
Yeah.
Regardless of level or regardless of experience, it's like transfers can be welcomed here. And that's been something just kind of recently, I think, is that commitment, right? From Clay to from Marcus, from Keith, Tate, Braden, transfer, right? Guys can make a home regardless if it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. So really excited, really, really excited to get that first one, like, there were kind of questions up there, right? Guys putting us in their final three. Like, oh, is someone going to commit? And to see this type of commitment, especially after a visit, very special, really great. I can't wait to see him just jump up and grab the rims at Loyola.
Yeah, and he ended up picking us over Pittsburgh, which, oh, why am I? Are they ACC? Am I drawing? Am I? What
yeah, conference? No, they're ACC, yep.
Okay, so Pittsburgh. I know he visited there. Some of the other schools that he heard a lot from were Ole Miss, Akron, Kent State, and us. So, I mean, you know, pretty quality competition. I would say, you know, we're in that top tier with, like, Pitt and Ole Miss, just in terms of, like, they probably have great facilities and we're kind of on the rise, but we're definitely the most successful of that group in the past 5 or so years. So, that was our competition. Great to see us win out. And, yeah, we're excited to have
Philip Alston on the team, and especially to just kind of get to know him. And like you said, the rims are in good hands. I think we will see our fair share of rim-rattling dunks from Phil. So
absolutely.
Moving on to the next guy. This was the surprise one, as Bryce Golden. Literally, we didn't hear anything about him. There was some chatter from former Loyola players about something happening. And I messaged them both and were like, hey, what's up? And they said, it's happening today. And I said, okay, cool. I'll be ready. You know, we'll be ready. And so we kind of learned the same way the rest of you did. But yeah, 6'9", transfer from Butler, has played 4 years there. So he's using his COVID year to come play, grad transfer and play at Loyola. Like I mentioned in the article, he started all 88 games for Butler in the past three seasons that he's played in. He is none of his stats, I don't think, are going to blow you away. But, you know, averages around 9 points and I think 4 rebounds in the past 3 years. Super solid. Some of the people that I've, like, reached out to and, like, read a message say that said that they were surprised when Bryce played in the Big East. Like, it just seemed like he might have been a little out of his element, but that the A-10 is going to be perfect for him. Easily should average, if he's playing a lot, you know, 12-6 or 13-7, somewhere in that range, as far as points and rebounds. But, yeah, he, like, I mean, look, we got a starting center for 3 years in the Big East. Like, that is kind of nuts, when you think about it. And I saw someone else say that I don't think he goes to Loyola if we're in the Missouri Valley. No ill will toward the Missouri Valley Conference, but I think, you know, it's probably pretty important. His older brother played at Richmond, Grant Golden, and so he, I'm sure, was talking to him about what the A-10's like. I don't think he transfers to Loyola if we're in the Missouri Valley Conference. So I think this is kind of one of the first times you could point to something and say, yeah, this is because we're in the A-10. So I'm excited for him. I think he's going to slot in pretty well and play a large amount of minutes, whether that's starting off the bench, kind of yet to be seen. You know how Drew likes to kind of mix up his starting lineups from time to time. So, but either way, I think he's going to play a lot of minutes. I like he sets really great screens. I know it's kind of like a silly thing to kind of lead with as what I like out of him, but I was watching and he does. They're solid. He picks and rolls. He makes good decisions kind of in the high post, and he just uses his body and his footwork to make good plays. A little bit of post-up game, but mostly pick and roll. I think we're going to see a lot of Braden and Bryce pick and roll, and see what other teams can do to stop it. But I'm excited. I think this is great. I think he's going to be an awesome addition to the team. And our front court, man, it went from a weakness to a strength in 48 hours. So, yeah. Lou, what you got on Bryce? Are you excited?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is that, one, it's kind of crazy that A-10 talk, that we're in it, and the whole A-10 conference, they're excited to have another Golden brother, or less excited, right, because it's funny to see. But I think the biggest thing for me is that I really hope the one thing that when you look at a stat sheet, like you said, and I love the point, is like it's not going to blow you away, at least from what you would expect from a 6'9", kind of stat sheet to look like. I think the biggest thing right away is, I think the A-10 is those rebounds should be going up.
Yes.
Or at least you hope so, right? 4 rebounds a game isn't something that fantastic, I'd say, at that height. And even his points went down from the previous year, right? Even with more games. So there were certain things. I think also an interesting point. I didn't see that in any of our messages, but it's when I react to it live, I think it's even interesting. The comment about, like, if we were in the Valley, right? And I can see that. I can absolutely see it. And the one thing I say, though, that maybe it doesn't really have anything to do with the Valley, like benefiting us or not. It's like in his 4 years of playing, we've been to the tournament twice, and he's not been.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you also maybe want to get a chance to go play in that tournament, right? His brother, look at his brother then just beating Iowa, right, this past year. And then I think then they lost their next game. But
yeah,
they beat Iowa, a top seed. And it's like, we beat Illinois last year and we, like, played, like, it, maybe that's cool, right? I don't know. And I hope that's something they think about. But you'll never know until you hear it from a recruit. So there's multiple ways to kind of slice it. I think the biggest thing with me on this one is that 6'9 presence, I hope, will keep the idea of Huddy and him really out there on the court. I don't mind small ball, but I really like the idea of having a big presence, just because there are times where I think it really is beneficial to have a big guy out there like Huddy and not like Bryce. So what I'm expecting is hopefully an increase in rebounding. I think that's the biggest thing that sometimes killed us last year was the defensive rebounding, not getting the rebounds when guys like CK were blocking out and no one else was there to grab a rebound, and then a lot of offensive rebounds went by. So that's what I'm really hoping this position or like this opportunity really provides for the team, but also then provides an opportunity for Bryce to kind of maybe ball out at a different conference, different kind of competition level than maybe the Big East. Maybe like everyone's been kind of telling us, the Big East might have been a stretch for him. I don't know, but I'm happy to find out what that journey is going to be like for his final year.
Yeah, and it's kind of just yet to be seen, right? I think he's got a lot of potential, and I'm interested to see how he works in Drew's system. And kind of getting into that, we can talk more about Bryce, but it kind of just leads right into a question that we got, which was,
absolutely,
yeah, how does the size that we just got commitments from impact our offensive scheme? Either sticking with up-tempo play, reverting to point center with Krut, etc. I think that Bryce Golden fits what we did last year even better. Like, he's just it. I'm trying to pick my words right here, but I think he just is Chris Knight, but taller and with a little bit more of a jump shot. And that what I mean by that is he's not the most athletic player, but he's in the right spot at the right time. He does a lot of the dirty work. He boxes out well. He can defend taller players pretty well. He's tough. He's battle tested. Smart player. You know, yada yada yada. You know, the stuff that just doesn't jump off the screen at you. So I actually think that we're just going to play similar to how we played last year, and maybe just get a guy like Bryce Golden involved a little bit more, and see maybe a touch more high posting action for Bryce Golden, and allowing him every once in a while to be that point center, point forward. Don't want to compare him to Krutwig, but I do think he has some good passing ability. And because he can hit that jump shot, it forces the defense to come out and guard out there. Whereas Chris Knight, I don't think he made a jump shot behind the free throw line all season. And then when you add in a guy, you know, like Phil, that's just your, like we said, I have no idea what kind of defense he's going to be able to play. But offensively is that athletic guy like Ugwuok. But is able to be in the right position at the right time like Chris Knight was. So he's a slasher, and I think he'll just I think he can fill a role. I don't think he's the type of game breaker, offensive, go get your bucket on a play like when we need it type of guy, especially moving up to a new level. But I think he's just going to find his role, and I hope he can I think he'll be a great addition on like the fast break. I can see him and Saint playing together pretty well because I think Saint can shoot the heck out of the ball, as we'll see this season. I think they fit really well together, actually. And, that's kind of my take on what I think the offense is going to look like. I think it's going to be like last year, honestly. I don't know if you have any thoughts on how those two guys fit in.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think one of the biggest things with Bryce, one of the games that it was this past year, was he had a 22-point outing from against Marquette. And I'm pretty sure I saw him, like, make three threes. And I was like, what? And just, like, didn't expect it. Because what I saw in some of the highlights, which I like, is really similar to the CK game style of, like, waiting for the pass to come baseline and bringing it down and going up, right? Mm-hmm. And I think both Phil and Bryce also fit this role. I think Bryce is a little is the height of Crutwig, right? But I think he moves a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much you can see that in the game tape. I don't think he has like post moves like Krut or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think Krut definitely, and maybe the I haven't seen too many highlights to know if his passing's there. But again, just from like maybe like a box score per point, right? He barely has ever averaged. He's never overall. He's never averaged more than an assist a game, right? Mm-hmm. So it's nothing to really expect there, right? I'm just hoping that the biggest thing with both of them is that they find that understanding of how Drew did it, and I really want to see more of it, is that like when the threes aren't falling, and that's something I think we as a team, is that I think guys like Phil and Bryce can just be silently waiting for that guard to drive and the dish down low, and the dish maybe as a guy's cutting in from the baseline or from the box, right? So those guys cutting in that are big guys. We saw that a good bit with CK kind of getting those lobs. Now, I don't know maybe if Bryce would be that. I can see maybe Bryce doing that. I can also see Phillip just with his natural ability to just get up and jump, grab a ball, and just put it down. So I think both guys actually fit a need that is being – a hole that it needs to be filled that's being opened by two guys who I think fit these kind of positions well. And that's CK and like Ahir just because – they both were found around the block, right? And then Bryce, maybe with his three, I don't really think of it as a thing, as really much a part of his game, but it's there, right? It's not like it's not there. He, this past year, he took 67 attempts, and he made 23. So he was a 34% from three. And I think that's nothing to be like, oh, you can't shoot. Like, no, that's you're capable of doing that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's necessarily like going to be fixed right away with these two additions. But what I do think is we're heading in the right kind of idea of what Drew wants, mm-hmm. or at least what Drew did. Yeah, here Ugok shot 32% from three, just for people maybe wondering, this past year. So Bryce shooting at a good 34%, maybe even better, right? I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Both guys, I think, are going to be really good to the program. And Bryce has only got 1 year, which is fine. I think also your point earlier with Huddy, I just want to circle back to that, is yes, I do think the idea of pressure should be not on either of them. I think both of them can work off each other perfectly, because I think really who has Huddy had to really battle with in practice?
Yeah.
And I think this is a nice way to get them to battle each other. You definitely think, I bet you Huddy probably had a battle Krut his like COVID freshman year, right? Mm-hmm. And he had no one last year. I think that makes a difference when you're battling someone day in and day out who's of your height, of your build, and is going to be at the block with you and on you. So I'm excited for it. Yeah, it's a great two pickups. And just really happy about the tempo that will keep going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just to kind of get into the last question here, which was, how do you like our odds of landing Bobby Clintman? And also, into Drew starting to recruit more kids who are not only higher ranked, but are being recruited by Power 6 conference teams. I'm going to be honest. I don't think we get Bobby Clintman anymore. Bobby, whatever. I just don't think it's in the cards. I think he's a great talent. I still want him. I think like I said, I just think he's a great talent, but I think our front court is set, to be honest. We might get a wing that can kind of be a four at times, but I think the kind of four guys that we got now are pretty set. You know, now I say that, I'm sure they're going to go out and sign another center, but
we haven't heard about yet, so
yeah exactly. I just don't think it's a need anymore, and I think if it would have happened, it probably would have already happened, considering we're in his top two. There's been some questions from former players, just kind of questioning the type of player he is and if he fits into the culture, if he fits into Loyola. I can't answer that. I don't know him, but I think the fact that there's questions about it is even something to think about. It just seems like maybe he wants to
explore other options, which is fine. So, yeah, my short answer is I don't think we get him anymore. As far as recruiting goes, I think we're starting to recruit a little bit more, especially I think it's evident in transfers that we're battling the Power 6 conference teams for some of these guys. And a little bit, you know, with the incoming freshmen, like the 23 class, there's some teams or, you know, players that we're battling Big Ten teams or ACC teams for. And I don't know. I think it's just a combination of us being that national notoriety. Like, I think we just have a little bit of a national brand now. And I do think that it's a lot of Drew being a great recruiter and his staff. And I do think that being the youngest coach in Division I basketball is a big thing. He mentioned it down at the Final Four that, you know, he loves his shoes, right? And that's something that you can connect with, or where like someone who might be over 70 and doesn't give a care about his shoes other than his New Balances, like, you know, that it, you just can't connect with a young kid who, you know, loves his Jordan. So I think that helps a lot. I think Drew's got that sort of that niche right now, and I hope he continues to use it, take advantage of it, and teach the other guys on the staff, which I think they do a great job as well, how to recruit, and I'm pumped about it. But yeah, Lou, there's a lot kind of there. You can take either angle, talk about whichever you want, or if you I don't know, how do you feel about all that?
I think right away they're recruiting. Bobby is part of it. Bobby's a top 100, top 150 recruit, according to like 247. So just in general, from transfers, it's Loyola also now has a consistent recognition, at least in our eyes, on the national level. 3 NCAA tournaments in the last 5 years. No NBA talent currently, and I don't think that is a necessarily knee-jerk reaction to get guys who I think will fit in our program. But we get guys who fit a schema who I think now is new to Drew. Like, Drew has a different makeup of what he wants for players than what Porter had. So that's a big thing. And then Drew is a different coach than Porter. Drew is a young coach. Drew is a coach of color. He's very different and a different background than even than Porter. Porter had historically, coaching mentor. Mm-hmm. Drew has also a current, like, also very active still mentor in, like, Tom Izzo. So their paths were different, but I think the fact that Drew then sat under Porter, got to know, like, what Loyola is all about. So I think those things affect recruiting, and we've just affected it in a positive way because we've won. We've been winning. We're getting guys who like to play here, guys who are very adamant about playing here, right? From what I think even Keith, one of my favorite tweets from a player in recent memory was, or might have been Lucas, was like, oh, remember when they like had it counted us out or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure recruits even liked it. Like, I think I saw Bobby like that tweet. And it was like, that's the atmosphere that we're building. So that's on the recruit side. I think there's no like, oh, Loyola's going after a top talent. Like, no, we can get up there with the big names, and we've seen that. Mm-hmm. With Bobby, I think there's a door that can still be open for a commitment. Do I think the percentages are lower than they were maybe a month ago before his Geico Nationals? Yes. Again, I don't know. Maybe he wanted to finish this season because, again, decommitting from a school in the middle of your also your high school senior is different and maybe difficult. I get that. I was hoping for some type of an unofficial visit or reconnection with the coaching staff again after his high school kind of year was over. Didn't see that. Again, don't know. We'll see. I saw he's off to another school. I think it's lower percentage. I think there's a possibility, but nothing as not as high as it was a few weeks ago. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta tell the truth, even when it's not the best news, right? Like, I know we've, as a fan base, have really wanted Bobby for a long time. Things change. Rosters change. Also his life has changed because he's not committed to Maryland anymore. And, things change.
And then,
so.
as we speak of players like we always do, they just leave Loyola. So it's okay.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen tomorrow, I betcha. So we'll see.
Well, what do you mean?
We talked about T.Y. leaves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see. So. I see what you're saying. We have too much power, yeah.
Yeah, they definitely are listening in and like, you know what, they're right. We're not, so.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll see. I think matter who we bring in, though, Drew and the staff are quite good. Shout out to the staff, I have to say, though. A quick summary. Staff probably is also bringing these players in on these visits and doing a great job. But there's some staff that's out there also still recruiting on the recruiting trail. Love seeing it. It's pretty cool to just see this staff all involved and trying to get players to come to Loyola.
Yeah, it's fun. We get to kind of peek in sometimes, see who's where, and everyone's out. Everyone's out doing stuff. So good on the staff. Yeah, they're working hard. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for us this week. It's a lot we talked about. I'm glad we have stuff to talk about. It always makes it fun. So we're going to have some more content for the foreseeable future, at least the next few weeks. And then, you know, as we get more in the dog days, we'll let you know if we have off weeks or just shorter episodes or take a break or whatever. So my one thing I think needs to catch on. And I'm going to end the episode with this because I love it. I came up with it is the, I hope everyone's ready to get on board the Drew Chu train. And obviously we got two new guys on the Drew Chu train. Oh boy. The Drew Chu train. It's say that six times in a row. But yeah, that's going to be all. So thank you all for listening, and don't forget, always remember, go Blurs.